tuned into Quick Charge, the high voltage podcast bringing you the top stories in electric vehicles and sustainable energy daily. And it's all powered by Electrek. Welcome to another episode of Quick Charge by Electrek. I'm your host, Joe Boris. It's June 17th, 2024. Today's episode, we're going to start right where we left off last week with Tesla's shareholder vote. After a landmark vote last week, Tesla shareholders voted to reinstate Elon Musk's record-setting multi-billion dollar compensation package. And this is the same package that was recently struck down by a Delaware judge, which sets kind of an interesting legal precedent. Tesla admitted that its use of ratification was novel in this case, but does claim that it significantly impacts the case in a new letter to Judge McCormick. The approval of ratification by Tesla's stockholders significantly impacts the claims and issues in this action, including the court's final judgment. Tesla's argument here is that including the judge's decision in its proxy statement informs the shareholders of all the governance problems highlighted by the ruling judge. And if they decide to move forward with the compensation regardless, which they did, the judge should approve it. A lawyer representing the shareholders in this case told Reuters that they will argue the ratification has, quote, no legal effect. That's Greg Varallo, a shareholder attorney in the case against the pay package, said the ratification had no legal effect on the case and that he would explain his argument in a brief due Friday. I will fully admit I have not read Varallo's brief, but it's nonsense. If you tell the shareholders exactly all of the legal issues here and explain to them fully what it is they're voting for, and the majority of shareholder votes still comes back and says, pay the man, you need to pay the man. That's just my two cents here. But Elon is absolutely winning whatever bizarre Game of Thrones multi-billion dollar thing he's got going on over there at Tesla. I am no fan of Elon Musk. You guys have all called me Elon haters in the comments multiple times already, maybe deservedly so. But at the end of the day, this is a purely democratic event here. If you own a share, that share gets a vote, you placed your vote, and you voted to pay Elon. Good for you. If what you really wanted was to give $56 billion more dollars to the guy who can't figure out that one giant windshield wiper is going to be a problem and still thinks that his Tesla Roadster can fly, Godspeed, Spider-Man. Congratulations, you paid him. Moving on from Tesla and cars that can't fly, Kia is going to build its affordable upcoming EV3 SUV in Mexico, which is going to enable it to unlock that federal U.S. EV tax credit of $7,500. Now, this is absolutely critical because one of the things that this new EV rebate and this, you know, Buy American kind of push with this administration pushed through a couple of years ago was meant to do was bring manufacturing and transportation jobs back to North America. Now, I think a lot of people are going to argue that Mexico is not the United States and giving these incentives to our nearest neighbor to the south is probably not ideal. And I think probably a lot of people in the Biden administration would tell you it's not ideal either. That said, it's going to be really great for people to have an affordable, high quality option like this that's going to be, again, priced in that $30,000 to $35,000 range and now be eligible for that tax credit. That's going to make it one of the most affordable EVs in the U.S. when it does come to market. How affordable is it going to be? Well, according to information from Q1 of 2024 from Cox Automotive, the most affordable new EV you could buy right now in the U.S. is a Nissan Leaf. Average selling price with discounts, $27,956. In second place is Nissan's Ariya. That's a little bit bigger, more modern SUV, probably much more in line with modern expectations of what an EV is supposed to be like than the Nissan Leaf. And that's in second place at $35,556. That's going to put it right there in between the Leaf and the Ariya, and it's going to be, I think, right in that sweet spot of what people, young families are looking for a functional urban-suburban crossover vehicle. Little grocery getter, take the kids to school, great stuff. Enough range to do most day trips that you're going to be doing. And again, putting it right there in that $30,000 to $35,000 range, significantly less than the average new car transaction price. I think it's going to be interesting to see if it's going to take any business away from the Ioniq 6. Certainly could probably take some away from Tesla Model 3 and Tesla Model Y, especially if you've got people who maybe did a stretch to get into that Tesla because they wanted an EV. They've leased one, they've leased two, they're on their third vehicle now. Maybe the new Highland version is enough of an update to get them to buy another Tesla. Maybe it's not. This will give them another option. So that'll be good stuff. Now, it's important to note also that Kia's parent company, Hyundai, is getting in on this EV rebate action as well. But they're not building their cars in Mexico. They're putting in $7.6 billion on a new Meta plant. I guess that's what they're calling their version of the Gigafactory. They're going to be building that in Georgia. They're calling American manufacturing of EVs a top priority in the U.S. And I think this is much more in line with what the administration was originally after when they started passing all those incentives and rebate rules a couple years ago. The next bit of EV manufacturing news comes to us from China. NIO's semi-solid-state EV battery supplier is ramping up the output of its 620-mile range ET7 batteries. Now, NIO is a little bit different than most of the EVs we normally talk about because they still operate on a battery swap type of platform. So it is conceivable that you bought a NIO that didn't have this solid-state battery, you want to come in and rent that battery now because you have different driving needs or you don't want to recharge as often, you just don't want to worry about it. That company is called WeLion New Energy Technology, and they've seen a 31% increase in installations of their solid-state batteries last month. This growth comes as NIO officially begins renting its 150 kilowatt-hour battery packs for the new ET7. Now, this is a really neat technology. This is that super ultra bladder-busting long-range battery that EV proponents have been crying for here in the U.S., saying that, you know, this is the mythical guy that shows up in the comments that drives 400 miles round trip every day. You know, his dad probably walked 5 miles to school in the snow, uphill both ways, right? We all know this guy. We've seen him in the comments multiple times. This is the vehicle that they've actually been waiting for. This is a vehicle that can charge very, very quickly, less than an hour, can put 650 miles of range in the vehicle. There was a 14-hour live stream event where the CEO of NIO, William Li, did 650 miles in one of these batteries. This was really neat stuff. If you happen to watch part of it, I think I caught like 15 seconds of it. I got the idea. The guy's driving. He drives for 14 hours. It's pretty cool. But, you know, it's tough because I don't understand Chinese. So it was hard for me to follow along and get really invested in it. But a lot of people watched it and it's absolutely solid technology. This is real stuff. This is not theoretical. This is the kind of thing that's out there and exists today. And it's going to be coming to the U.S. sooner than later. Now, the ET7 is all about pushing the limits of range and battery technology. And something else that pushes the limits of battery range and technology is motorsports. In this case, we're not talking about Formula E. We're talking about the 24 hours of Le Mans. That race happened this past weekend, a Ferrari hypercar. The hypercar class is effectively a plug-in hybrid type of racing car that eventually won the race. But there was another big winner at Le Mans this weekend, Volvo. Danish engineering company Danfoss, which has a number of these Volvo FM Electrics running 24-hour duty cycles at its logistics facility in Denmark, they joined up with a group of drivers, 47 other drivers, to do an 800-mile road trip loaded up to a 20-ton capacity, so effectively 40,000 pounds, to kind of debunk the myth that electric vehicles don't have a place in long-haul road trip type driving. Now, one of the things that was really neat about this, they had tailgating, stopped multiple times. They really enjoyed themselves and everything was done electric. They cooked, did their tailgate party on electric griddle tops. They had electric cooling and it seemed like it was a ton of fun was had by all. They had 115 people involved in 48 different vehicles. This Volvo obviously was the coolest one there, but hey, don't take my word for it. Read the article. Interesting stuff. Now, if there has ever been a group that was less excited about electrifying than semi-truck drivers, it's probably heavy equipment operators, which is why this is such interesting news. Sunbelt Rentals, which is a company that rents out equipment either by the day, by the week, to construction companies that are in the middle of a job, that maybe they don't need to own a specific tool or equipment asset, but they're looking at using it for one day here, one day there. This is a great way for them to test out Bobcat's new all-electric skid steer. In fact, as Sunbelt Rentals continues to add to its fleet, it's going to become a great resource for construction companies who are looking to put some of these electric vehicles to the test, maybe because they don't need one for a full day, maybe because they're trying to meet the needs of a specific client that has noise regulation or no-drip job site needs, or maybe because they're interested in buying this kind of equipment in the future and they want to see how it works today. This is really neat stuff. This is a project going on at UC Berkeley. Sunbelt rented this out to a construction company called Turner Construction. Turner was the first company to take them up on this offer and put this Bobcat skid steer to work. They were also one of the people involved in that Volvo EC230 excavator project. Definitely check out this article and let us know what you think of it. That's it for today, June 17th. Be sure to like and subscribe and let us know what you thought of this in the comments.